Fasten your championship belts, because this podcast is unprofessional. Welcome to your weekly home for wrestling reviews, discussion, predictions, and more. This is Unprofessional Wrestling. Here are your hosts, Schwartz, George, and Travis.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming off of probably the biggest heel turn in all of professional wrestling. He has finally turned. John Cena is a fucking heel, boys. Holy moly. What a wild, wild, wild few days coming off of Elimination Chamber. Monday Night Raw was also pretty wild. Shorts, how are we feeling coming out of the weekend?
This was cinematic. This, like George said in our message group, this was a movie. This was amazing. Everything was amazing. Well put in there.
Absolutely. George, how about you? Same question.
Definitely did not see it coming.
No, I don't
Biggest
know if anybody
surprise
did.
In a long time.
I was really bummed because I couldn't watch it live. I was pretty busy through the weekend, and it was impossible to avoid that spoiler. So, like, I knew what happened. You know, I didn't know anything else that happened on the show, luckily. So by the time I could finally sit down and start watching it Sunday night, like, all the other results were a surprise to me.
There's a lot of returns.
I think getting that one big spoiler was kind of nice in a sense, because like, you didn't see anything else on social media when you were like scrolling through stuff, right? Like, that's all you saw was the John Cena stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
I didn't know anything about Jade. I didn't see who won any of the matches or any of that.
Yeah, it overshadowed everything, which was actually a blessing.
1,000%. So we can't really waste any time on this. I think we just got to get right in and kind of talk about what might be the biggest heel turn in professional wrestling history. And we'll do some comparisons and look at some other heel turns in the past. For now, we're going to focus on kind of what happened on Saturday. So, of course, we saw John Cena win the chamber match, right? And we'll talk more about the chamber match. But, of course, we saw CM Punk get screwed by Seth Rollins. Rollins came in when the door was open, stomped CM Punk. Bam, Cena took advantage. Cena wins a chamber match. Chamber comes up while they're recapping. Cody comes down. They're chatting. Here comes the final boss. And for some reason, Travis Scott. That I can't make sense of this.
I'm still curious about that.
I have a theory when we're all done.
Okay. Also, if somebody can monitor the YouTube chats, because apparently YouTube is broken. So for some reason, Travis Scott was there. Travis and The Rock come down. Rock confronts Cody and says, "Hey, I'm going to open my arms. You're going to give me your soul." Cody says, "I gave my soul away a long time ago to this ring and these people." Crowd started going nuts. And then we got, "Hey, Rock, go fuck yourself." Crowd goes absolutely bananas. And why wouldn't they? Good stuff. That was really good stuff. It was uncensored. Netflix didn't censor that until yesterday, and I think it's still uncensored on Peacock. And then everybody's excited, and Cena's excited. Cena goes in for the bro hug. You know, you do the one-handed,
dab,
your right hands like slap together, and then you pull each other in, bro hug sort of thing. And then as soon as Cena goes in for the hug, his expression is unlike anything anybody's ever seen. Nobody has seen Cena make that face. Probably not in a movie. Definitely not in wrestling. And The Rock does the signal. He does the two-finger throat slash thing. People are losing their minds. Cena pulls back, smiles at Cody. Bam! He kicks him right in the balls.
I felt that.
Wild. Absolutely wild. Cena is a heel. What is happening?
Right move or wrong move?
It makes sense.
Is there any question?
Well, you know,
it makes sense.
Farrell tour makes sense.
This man hasn't won a match in what did we say it was like 7 years?
It was since, I believe, 2018, since he's won a televised match.
Yep.
And I said, what sense does it make for him to win the chamber? If I was watching live and I saw him win the chamber, I'm like, why? What's his credibility? He won one match that he didn't earn his way into because he got help to win it. Right. Now, after that match is over and all this goes down, I'm like, oh my God, it makes so much sense. Because here's the deal. This is how Cena got into the match without earning his way. The Rock did it. The Rock let him secure the spot in this match without earning it.
You don't think we're connecting hard work the last 20 years?
It doesn't fucking matter. We're connecting dots here, guys.
Right.
Love it.
CJ's been going crazy in here.
Fucking CJ.
It says, did anybody watch the Raw recap where they recapped a show that was mostly recaps?
That's a lot of recap.
What? Is he trying to say Raw was mostly a recap?
A recap of Elimination Chamber?
All right.
And then he said Travis Scott was pointless, and it's all uncensored on their socials too that said he saw.
Yeah, I saw WWE post a clip from that, and it was uncensored. And they're letting this fly as they should, because it fits the story very well.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. This curveball that which I think I saw on Chris Van Vliet, Cena actually said that this was going to happen last year, February. He said if it makes sense, because we all, you know, if someone's been a face their entire life, you know, there's something that's going to drive them to be a heel and to make the wrong choices, and they have to live with those wrong choices and just go that direction. So, it's true.
So I think I sent you guys also the video of Chris Van Vliet doing the interview with John Cena when Ricky Stanicky came out, and he was talking about how he almost became a heel during Rock and Cena 1 at that first WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
There were rumblings of it. He said within 48 hours, he had a new attire picked out. He had a new theme song, which was basically a remix of his original song with different instruments. And I wonder, like, if we're going to get any of that, or if we're just getting Jort Cena with a grumpy face.
We're going to get a shirt that says give up.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's so good. It's going to be never give up, and the never is going to be crossed out.
True.
That's so good. So, George, you're a genius.
Do you think they go the route like they normally do, or they just take their uppity songs and then they just kind of lower it and slow it down and make it just like grumpy?
Maybe
they'll do that with this.
I guess it depends on who's doing the music now.
I don't know.
Hopefully
if
it's not Def Rock.
I don't like it.
Oh man, I'm so excited for this.
Phil says, tell me why you guys think this is bigger than Hogan turning in 1996.
We're going to get there, because that is like the ultimate comparison. So later on in the show, we're going to talk about some of the biggest. So let me break the show down a little bit. We're going to talk about Elimination Chamber. We're going to talk about the couple bigger things that happened on Raw. Then we're going to talk about some of the biggest heel turns in wrestling history. Phil, stick around. Please stick around. I hope you don't have anything else to do. We're going to talk about that, because that's kind of, that's a big topic right now, right? Because we don't see heel turns like this almost ever. Like this, it's like a once in a lifetime event. And like the only other one that compares to this probably is Hogan in 96. But like I said, we're going to get there later. In terms of what we saw on Saturday, this was ground shaking, monumental, and this completely changes the landscape of WrestleMania this year.
It was the most sense. It made the most sense, which I'm going to harp on that forever. This turn makes the most sense. This is the last, like I think CJ was saying it before, it's just like the last farewell tour. He needs to grasp at anything that's in front of him it needs to make an, he needs to make an impact to get this last title run.
Mm-hmm.
So it just all came together. And I love that there wasn't like a, why are we doing this? This is like, you know, they're reaching for this. This is like, you look back and they basically told you this was going to happen, and it's happening.
I wasn't convinced that Cena was going to get that title, but now I'm totally convinced he's going to, and I think he's going to do it at Mania, and I think he's going to do it against Cody, and I think there are a lot of unexpected things that are still going to happen with this.
You think there's going to be some like switch ups in the match? Like, do you think CM Punk's going to pull his favor out of the hat?
Okay, so on that topic, I think that's very possible. And we'll talk about Raw. I'm just so flabbergasted and excited by this. And you know what? Last year, I was like, before Mania, I was like upset because I'm like, they're doing all these things. They don't make any sense. But they always, in the end, they pulled everything together and everything made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
because let's think back a little bit to, I believe it was Bad Blood when The Rock came out. And I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The Rock came out, did his 3-2-1, did the throat slash. Hello? Did you guys see Elimination Chamber?
He did two fingers.
Well, outside of how many fingers, I mean, he came out and he did the throat slash. So, like, has this been the plan all along? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good,
I'd say good question.
I like I said, we are connecting the dots, and that was a great detail.
CJ, he said, I thought Def Rebel was canned already.
I don't know. I hope so.
They were. Also, wild prediction on CJ's end. Either at SummerSlam or John Cena's very last pay-per-view, he'll face The Rock and turn face again.
At his last pay-per-view?
Like his last match.
No, well, that doesn't make sense. Why wait until... That doesn't make sense. I can see this going a couple different ways. One of them being... One of them being that Cena doesn't win at Mania and Cody goes, what am I doing? Like, what have I become? And he starts to face reality and, oh, I made these choices. I don't know. He's gonna have like an epiphany that, you know, he's being a bad guy and what am I doing with my life? Because, you know, he doesn't beat Cody and Cena gets him to see like the error of his ways or whatever. That's one way I see it going. Possibly.
I see John Cena winning and being a filler champion just to get that 17th. Is it 17th?
Yep.
Title reign. 17th. And then I see Punk beating him.
I don't even see that being like a filler championship necessarily. I don't know.
When someone doesn't, basically, we don't see anybody with that championship less than, I don't know, 8-10 months. We haven't seen it in a long time because of Roman, but
mm-hmm.
That title is basically supposed to be on someone for at least a year, the very least.
Well,
and if it's less than a year, then you're basically a filler champion.
I mean, it never used to be that way.
It used to be every 2 or 3 months.
I mean, I'm glad we're getting longer championship reigns, but I wouldn't say like it has to be a year for it to really be a legitimate run.
Well, Roman changed the game.
I never want to see anybody have the championship that long. That was like, what, 3 years?
Four.
It was almost four, yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible. So with that being said, I do think that we might see Punk be a part of this.
Oh, he will. Yes, he will.
Either the match at Mania or just heavily involved in the story. And obviously it's because we know he's hellbent on the WrestleMania main event. And last night in his promo on Raw, he said, and people think I've exhausted all options to main event WrestleMania. indicating he has not exhausted all those options. What's the one option that he has that he has not exhausted?
He's got Paul Heyman.
He has the favor.
Mm-hmm.
How do we see Punk possibly being involved utilizing the favor?
Beating Seth Rollins next week.
Roman Reigns. I think Roman Reigns does some sort of MacGyver thing, gets a spot, and somehow Paul Heyman convinces him that he needs to back out and pay, and he needs to pay his debt for CM Punk.
Okay.
Whether that's Mania or some other time.
I think... All right. While we're talking about it, we're on the topic of Raw somewhat, sort of a little bit here. So let's start talking about Raw, just because I think that's gonna play into this. Monday Night Raw starts. CM Punk comes out fucking guns blazing. This guy is hot. He is pissed, and rightfully so, because he got screwed at Elimination Chamber. Everybody wanted Punk to win. There were boos when Cena won.
You wanted Punk to win.
Don't shake your head. You watched the show.
We said Cena was
going to
win.
Yeah, we wanted Cena.
I'm not saying you guys specifically. I'm saying the majority of people did. People booed when Cena won. They wanted Punk to win. I'm not saying that as a Punk mark. That is just the fact. Because A, it made the most sense. B, he's never been hotter right now. Or he's never been hotter than he was ever before. Like, this is the most popular CM Punk's probably ever been, and the most momentum he's ever had.
But he's just getting all these other feuds that are just like stepping in the way.
Right. Okay. So that's where I'm going with this. So anyways, Punk comes out, says he's liable to get Raw canceled from Netflix. So you know he's about to lay down some good work, right? Starts talking about Cena, starts talking about Rock, and then he starts to get to Rollins. And talking shit to Rollins. And the second that his name is brought up, Rollins comes out and Punk runs up the entrance ramp to meet him, and they are brawling. And the crowd is on absolute fire. Like, the crowd was so into this and they were so loud. Punk and Rollins are fighting. Security comes down. They keep separating these two. They keep getting back into it. And the second that they met back up and started hitting each other again, the crowd just huge pop every single time. So it was a lot of fun. The crowd was super into it. Later on in the night, they find each other backstage. They're fighting again. Crowd is super into this again. Later on, it's Adam Pearce and Seth Rollins by Seth's bus outside the arena. And Adam Pearce basically says, you need to end this. And next week you're going to end this because you guys are going to be in Madison Square Garden in a steel cage. What I think is going to happen out of this is... We're going to see Roman come after Seth during this cage match. I think Seth is then going to separate from Punk. They're not going to be feuding anymore. And quite frankly, I don't want to see Punk and Rollins anymore. I already saw it. And I thought that was a fine ending to their feud.
That was only one match. Him and Drew had three.
You don't have to have more than one match for it to be a complete feud.
Yeah, but if it's...
That is the WWE... That's the way that they do it.
Yeah, sure. And I get that, but like, I don't, for that story, I don't think you need more than one. Like, it seemed to be settled largely, but you know, they keep intercepting and crossing paths. So that's fine. But I think Roman comes out to get his revenge on Seth for Seth stomping him at the Rumble. I think it's setting up a match for Roman and Seth at Mania. And then I think that's going to allow Punk to focus on cashing in on this favor and finding his way into one of the main events at Mania.
I like it.
That's my prediction.
Very.
I don't know. I don't know if Punk really even makes sense in the two title matches.
Well, after, you know, bringing up John Cena and The Rock last night, and then
he's going to make himself relevant. I'm just saying, in this point right now, like in a vacuum, he just doesn't make sense.
Okay, so why not? The way that I look at this is obviously the story with Punk is getting to the main event. I don't think you can just let him keep saying that for the next year over and over and over again. It's going to get played out. I feel like you have to strike while the iron's hot, and I don't think it gets hotter than what it does right now. But
WWE is known for missing those.
Yeah, sure.
Iron strikes.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I think whether or not it makes sense and how they get there depends on the favor and how they play that story out.
Exactly. That's how it's going to make it. That's going to make it make sense. They're not like as is right now. If we just say Punk just all of a sudden gets added in because of the favor, doesn't really make sense, but it needs to, like, obviously they, what do they have? A little over a month.
Well,
the 19th or something like that of April. So a little over a month.
I mean, it's almost 2 months at this point still.
Mania's they're going to have to really make this favor make sense because it's all going to come down to Roman. Like, how is Roman going to come back and do something to help?
Yeah. And you know, he has to be involved because they're not going to leave Roman off Mania. And obviously, like, there's a built-in story already that they started with him and Seth at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So as far as this cage match at Madison Square Garden goes, what are you two expecting to happen from this? I told you what I think I can see happening.
I see it as Punk winning, and that's his way of inserting his way into the main event. Like, hey, like, Seth's just going to go do his own thing now.
Sure.
Pulls the favor from Paul.
Punk hasn't lost anything other than, like, Rumble and Chamber, yeah. Really.
And he's had beef with Cody before. He's had beef with Cena before. It's kind of like, you know, you got the two old school guys against the new school guy, a.k.a. the champion, Cody. I'd be fine with one-on-one or a triple threat match, honestly.
I knew that Punk was going to have something different because of this cage match. Because they're just putting it on a Raw.
Yeah, rather than Madison, like, Square Garden, man.
Well, yeah, that's a significance. But there's there's no other PLE between now and Mania either.
And I know that. And I was fully expecting them to just, like, push this down the road a couple more weeks and then just be like, all right, we're finishing this in Mania. But they are immediately saying it's going to be a cage match on Raw. And I don't know. Either they like extend it. Now I'm just looking at Logan's. Logan said Seth wins and they draw it out to Mania, main event or not.
I don't think so.
I'm kind of thinking that, where it's like either they somehow extend it where there's like almost like a no contest, or like Roman comes in and just annihilates both of them and they're just standing there and there's no contest, and somehow Punk is involved with those two. Maybe that's the angle. They're really going to have to stir something up for that favor, because I just see him not in that main event.
Tell me if this makes sense. So Roman interferes next week, costs either one of them the match. Night one of WrestleMania, triple threat match, Roman, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. Winner of that gets entered into the main event. No, for night
Where
two.
Where does that favor come in, though? That's like you have to earn it.
I don't know.
It could turn into like
I'm not again.
Because you already had your matches where it's like, oh, if you win this, then, you know, you're in the main event or whatever. And that's where I don't think that makes sense, because that's ultimately that's where the favor comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what else do you use the favor for? Because it's not going to be for anything past Mania, obviously. Logan in the chat says, has there ever been a Hell in a Cell at Mania before? Yeah, several. Taker and Triple H, Taker and Shane McMahon.
Shawn too, wasn't it?
Hmm?
Wasn't Taker and Shawn, or is that just two?
It was Taker and Triple H, and Shawn was the ref. Yeah, Shawn was the ref. Great, great match. Yeah. I really like that match.
That was the one where they walked each other up the ramp.
True.
All three of them.
I think they can get back to a third Punk Rollins match down the road. They can always go back to that and say, oh, well, you know, Punk has this win and blah, blah, blah. And Seth, you know, can't stand it that he needs another win to feel better, whatever. But it's like, I think, Roman interferes. I don't think we get a decisive winner.
Right.
I mean, there has to be a decisive winner, but I think Punk might win because Roman is out for blood against Seth.
They both get speared through the cage and both land at the same time.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I think I'm almost aligned with you. I just don't think there's a definitive winner, and it ends up creating this issue between all three of them then. And then that goes to Mania. Because, you know, now we have two nights. What is it, like 5, 6, 7 on each card every night?
Yep.
They need to start getting these storylines moving. So I could see them pushing the triple threat as like a that could probably even start night one or night two. I mean,
yeah, I think what I want to see the most is
a night one. I mean,
I think what I want to see the most is Punk, Cena, Cody, triple threat. Because I feel like, I mean, there's so many times in the past where they just slap together a triple threat just to add somebody, but I feel like here, like, it makes sense. I don't think it's quite the same as just random triple threat matches for the sake of having a random triple threat match.
Right.
Is Larissa watching?
I think so.
Sup, so, Larissa?
Phil actually said, this is actually pretty good. Punk just wants the main event of Mania. It's more important than the title. So
yeah, and that's true.
Could happen.
That's true. I think with 4 world championships in WWE now, I don't think you snub one of the main events for a non-title match. I don't care who's in it.
But it's Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk. I may get a little backlash, but I see that being bigger than
Jay and Gunther.
Of the women's, like I could see the Rhea Bianca and Io being bigger, but I'm drawing a blank. Who's got the world title? The
Tiffany females. Stratton.
Oh yeah, Tiffany.
She's literally from Pine Lake.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
She lives in your town, dummy.
You probably brought her house.
You might have. You could have. Remember
Did
that
you say
one
brought or bought?
Bought. Remember that one time somebody almost crashed into your house while I was there?
Yeah, they still haven't fixed the fence. So.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I want to see how long it goes. Yeah, right. I don't. But anyways,
Phil says, I agree with this. Jay versus Gunther is not on the path to main event. It's not there. I mean, I 1000% agree. I don't think either of those guys right now are on main event paths, no matter who they're facing. There's not enough heat or momentum behind either of them. I'm sorry. I know like people love Jay right now, but he is not the star that Seth is, that Roman is, that Punk is, that Cody is, any of them.
They don't necessarily need to have the main event. They can open the show and be fine.
But
you know, they're going to do either one where it's like,
yeah,
Jay opens night one and then Rhea and Bianca and EO main event night one.
1000%. I think what they end up doing, this is just a wild guess. Obviously the Cody match is going to be one of the main events. The other main event is probably, I'm going to guess, Rhea Bianca. And then your opening matches each night, one of them is going to be Jane Gunther. The other is going to be Charlotte Tiffany.
Yeah. It's just,
when did Rhea get added to this match all of a sudden?
We're assuming.
Never mind. I forgot. EO won the match, but I think Rhea gets inserted. I think that becomes a triple threat potentially. I don't, because you're not going to leave Rhea out of Mania, obviously.
Do we want to go back and talk about the females elimination chamber on that fiasco?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We jumped around a lot, but good talks, boys. Good talks. So, and real quick, Logan says Gunther's IC title reign was far superior than this one. Oh, 1,000%. 1,000%. Not saying he doesn't deserve it. Love the guy, but the push died. I don't know that the push died, but I mean, you know, he's not main eventing any matches right now, and the buildup right now is all on Cody and the women's titles. There really hasn't been much buildup. And I think part of the problem, too, is, you know, Jay wins the Rumble in the middle of January, and there's so much time before that match happens. Like, how do you consistently keep a high amount of excitement on that match for 3 months? You can't.
Yeah, you have him going after freaking Tozawa and Otis.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, Elimination Chamber. Let's talk and just go through everything that happened at Elimination Chamber. We've been all over the place. So, let's look at this here. The Women's Elimination Chamber match started the PLE on Saturday, and what a hell of a start. All of the women come down, they make their entrance. The first two facing off while the other four are in the pods are Naomi and Liv Morgan. Right as they're about to lock up, the bell rings. Boom. A storm is coming. Here comes Jade Cargill. She is pissed. And of course, Bianca's in the pod. Well, Jade gets in the ring. She puts her fist up like she's about to go for Liv Morgan, and Bianca's like, yeah, get her. You deserve this, whatever she said. And all of a sudden, bam! She nails Naomi. Absolutely fucking nails her. And just wails on her. She's just going to town, okay? And things are clear. I'm not convinced that Bianca isn't a part of this Jade attack, but clearly, Naomi was largely responsible and at least did the physical part of it. I really wonder if Bianca directed Naomi to do this or was in cahoots with her to have Jade attacked or something along those lines.
What if Bianca dressed up in like neon and all that stuff and pretended to be Naomi and attacked her?
I feel like that's kind of a stretch, but I like it.
Well, because then, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think it's a stretch.
So Jade was hurt, right? And they were the tag team.
Well, I don't know if anybody really knows for sure.
But they were holding the belts, correct?
Correct. And then Naomi stepped in and so took Jade's place.
I feel like Naomi's the one that took out Jade just so she could, you know, be a champion. And it was all under just her doing.
Or
back to her dressing up like Naomi, and she dresses up like Naomi, attacks her because she doesn't want Jade to get any, you know, her motive is, you know, Jade is not on her level or something like that, you know, something along those lines. And Jade only thinks that she saw Naomi, and then Bianca going, oh, Jade's out for a while. I have someone that can replace her. It's actually Naomi. So then, boom, she has Naomi going to take the blame for what she did.
Okay.
So she gets beat up. And then she's going to go, I don't know what the heck happened. And then they're going to accuse each other and whatever.
I mean, it can go many different ways.
Yes. It's WWE. They're the most creative minds.
There is no doubt in my mind that it was either Naomi or Bianca. And obviously the Raquel Liv footage thing they did was just to try to throw the scent off. Like I thought that was obvious.
Yeah. Did you see what Liv was saying when Jade walked up to her?
No.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me, or something along those lines.
Yeah, it wasn't me. You don't understand. It wasn't me, or something. Yeah, along those lines.
Well, of course she would say that, even if it was her, because she's a heel, but
I think there was one other thing she said too that was like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't catch it.
Logan, figure that out and tell us.
Yeah. So anyways, Naomi is all of a sudden no longer a part of the Elimination Chamber match because Jade beat the shit out of her and then slammed her head in the door, which was awesome. And Bianca's reactions to everything going on while in the pod were priceless. Awesome. They released a video of Bianca today from like the camera that was in the pod, like, and showed her reaction to the whole thing.
Do you guys feel like someone should have been added to the match after Naomi got hauled away?
No, I didn't think that would be necessary.
I was honestly waiting for Becky Lynch.
No, because I don't think you have her return just to lose the chamber.
She probably would have won the chamber. He who shall not be named booking.
Yeah, no, that just, you know, what that reminds me of was SummerSlam a couple years ago when all of a sudden she returned out of nowhere and just took the title off of Bianca in like 30 seconds. It was awful.
I hated that.
I thought that was
Carmella. That made me dislike Becca.
It was off Carmella.
She's apparently free agent right now. Well, not free agent, but she's no longer under contract with WWE, apparently. Anyways, that's a side note. I don't know. I would have hated that. Absolutely hated that. Not that I don't want to see Becky, but don't book her like they did at SummerSlam that one year, because that's not something you do to a babyface. You don't put him in that position. So, yeah.
She's gone, and then Liv just kind of walks around. Mm-hmm. Just being like, whatever, right?
Or yeah, waiting for somebody to come out of the pod next.
Yeah. But who came out next? Was it Roxanne?
I don't recall who.
Bianca.
No.
Oh, it was Bianca. Yes, it was, because they went to shut the door and she went to run over to try to help Naomi, but they just shut the door.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Correct.
That was very, very well done.
Roxanne Perez was next.
Yep.
And then Bayley came out. And of course, Bayley and Perez are feuding right now.
Did you see the correlation between Punk's and Roxanne's gear?
Yeah, Becky Lynch, of course, pointed that out.
Yeah. Someone get her man, get his mans.
Alexa Bliss was the last one that came out. I think I predicted largely. No.
I said Bayley.
Yeah. Shorts, I know you said that. I believe you thought Alexa Bliss simply because of the whole Wyatt thing that's obviously going to be happening. Mm-hmm. But obviously we got Bianca winning, which is fine. I don't have an issue with it. I think I predicted Perez getting it.
You did. And right. I think it's a safe route with having Bianca win, because she's never won. So this is another notch on her belt. But also you can have a really good match in a feud leading up to Mania with her.
Yeah, I don't disagree. So we got Bianca winning and facing Io Sky now after last night. And then we had Tiffany Stratton, Trish Stratus defeating Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. Fun match, good performances, but Tiffany Stratton, Trish Stratus won, and there's not much else to really say about that, I guess. And now they need to focus on building heat behind the Tiffany and Charlotte match.
Which, where the hell is that? Like, I understand that they have to finish up the Nia feud, but did they really need to bring it all the way to Elimination Chamber?
I think it was just a good way to get Trish in there.
Hometown hero.
Which I'm totally fine with, mm-hmm. and it was a fun match, and you know, whatever. I don't have any issues with that match happening. There's enough time between now and Mania to try to put more behind Tiffany and Charlotte, and they will. But next was the unsanctioned match between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Nobody came out in hockey jerseys like we thought might happen.
I was upset.
But there was a hockey fucking stick.
There was a hockey stick, mm-hmm. and they did what I hoped they would do. And I think I said this last week, the referee did not have WWE logo on their shirt. I believe they had all the video boards turned off and all the lighting was turned down. And yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. I thought that was done very well. The only exception being the refs coming down to try to assist with the regular ref shirts on, which is fine. I understand. But if it's an unsanctioned match, I don't even have a ref at all, honestly. Just let somebody, I don't know, kill their opponent and then just walk away on their own without a count. I don't know. Because it's not about a match. It's about a fight. But, I'm just picking it apart. That's, you know.
It was a very good match. Very good.
A lot of tables like that.
A lot of chairs.
Oh, we haven't seen a double table stack probably in a while either. So that was cool. And supposedly the barbed wire chair was not gimmicked. Apparently that was as legit as it gets.
Hell yeah.
It looked gimmicked. It looked gimmicked.
I know. I thought so too, but I saw whatever report that came out that said otherwise, and you know, it was at the request of the talent, and you know, with those two, I could see them wanting it to be as real as it possibly can be. And I think that's a good way to respect the story between them, is for it to be as legit as it possibly can be. It was very entertaining.
Do you see this being the final chapter of this, or do you think this kind of gets milked out to Mania at all?
Well,
you see that at all?
I don't know. I'm surprised we didn't get a package pile driver. But anyways,
we almost did.
So Owens wins the match and he keeps wailing on Sammy. He gives two power bombs onto the apron, which, you know, is like one of Kevin's most devastating moves going back to NXT. And then he pulls the pad off the concrete floor, and it appears he is going to package pile drive Sammy right onto the concrete. As that happens, Randy Orton comes out. He makes his return, which I think is basically what we expected to happen, but that I think that's the appropriate timing. And they fight or whatever. Randy is in the ring with Owens, and he is gearing up to punt Owens in the head. Owens is on all fours. Randy's on the opposite side of the ring, and right as he's about to run out, everybody just suddenly gets in the ring and stops it.
For the first time ever.
Right?
Yeah.
Jesus. Oh, now they decide to do their job.
Diving in there.
Man, so that was good. I think we're probably getting, you know, Orton KO at Mania or sooner. Otherwise, I guess I don't really know where they fit in if it's not that.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, of course, we had the Men's Elimination Chamber match, which we discussed already. Mm-hmm. Another entertaining match.
Did you see Cena say I'm sorry to Punk when he was putting the STF on him?
No.
I didn't.
Right after Seth.
Like, did it look like it was supposed to be like obvious that he did it? I assume
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, he mouthed it.
Like, kind of like Shawn Michaels to Ric Flair.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I love you.
Yeah.
Bam!
Sweet chin music, bitch. But
also, too, I was kind of like looking. I noticed that I don't know if this has been done. I don't know if this has ever been looked at before. Has Punk ever tapped out to Cena before? Because it almost seems like clean. Because it almost seemed suspicious that he had to get stomped and then never tapped. He got just kind of, it was a TKO essentially. I'm like wondering if they're protecting Punk on that.
I think that was more or less like he didn't want to lose the hard way, so he was just going to fall asleep.
Right. And I don't know. He probably has lost to that submission. It's just more of, or clean. It's just more of, I didn't know. It seemed like they, they protected him on that. But I don't know. I saw the I'm sorry, and I was like, I don't know if that should have been set, like caught. Because just at the tip of the TV, just all you saw was like Cena's mouth, and he just like, I'm sorry.
Obviously, like, we had to start the show talking about the Cena heel turn and everything instead of going in order and doing it now, because like you can't really wait for that. Mm-hmm. But overall, Cena winning the heel turn, how do we feel about it going into Mania?
He's got three showings within the next couple weeks. Cena does.
What do you mean?
Like, he's going to be on TV at some point for like 3 weeks in a row, right?
I mean, he has to be.
What do you mean 3 weeks in a row? I think it's going to be more than three. I think it has to be more than three.
I saw something the other day. But
he has to be at SmackDown this week. He has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Either him or Rock.
I think it'll just be Cody. Honestly, they could get away with it.
I think they need to advertise ahead of time. Hey, Cena's going to be here to explain himself. Or Cena doesn't talk at all, and The Rock explains it.
Well, that's what he did in his press conference. He just dropped the mic.
No, he didn't say shit. He came out in the press conference. He sat down. He took the microphone out of its stand for some reason, and he mic dropped. Like, I don't know why. I thought that was kind of weird. But I like that he sat down, didn't say anything, and walked off.
He's getting used to it still.
He hasn't done this in a long time.
Ever.
Well, not ever.
The time he slapped Stephanie McMahon's butt, I think he was still heel. I think he was heel.
Well, nowadays that's a heel move. Maybe not as much then.
He rapped, and then she presented it to him, and he just little tap.
Well, I guess that's an implied consent, perhaps.
Yeah, she wanted it.
Anyway.
Just kidding.
Anyway, I'm gonna get in trouble. excited to see where this goes. There is also no doubt in my mind this is going to be some really good shit.
I did like that CM Punk got to sleep Logan Paul.
Hell yeah.
1,000%. I don't think they realize Logan Paul isn't just getting heel booze. He's getting absolute
go away heat.
Go away and fuck this guy heat. 1,000%.
Yeah, he did the same thing that he did last year by drawing on the plexiglass.
Didn't he draw with his breath, and this year he drew with a marker? Or did he draw with a marker last year?
Markers last year. He made horns in Kevin Owens.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that was Elimination Chamber. As far as the more notable things that happened on Raw, I mean, there were three title matches on Raw.
Yeah.
So we saw the tag titles be defended. It was War Raiders defeating American Made in the title match, which was a great match. Great match.
I liked it. I thought that was a very good match. A couple new movesets from the boys on American Made shows that they're big dudes and they're agile. Shows that they can hang with any tag team, and I think they're there to stay.
They were pretty close a few times winning.
Yeah, so
yeah,
good stuff. I think I know American Made loses a lot, but I mean, they are heels. That's fine. I do think once eventually there's a transition and they become baby faces, I think they're going to do very well, especially with Chad Gable. Outside of the tag title match, we also had Lyra Valkyria defeating Ivy Nile and retaining the Women's Intercontinental Championship. So we're starting to see the IC title be integrated and put on the show more and featured more. And now we're trying to get a little bit of story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice to see.
Yeah, and I guess staying on the tag team division, I did see that Penta's brother is fully released.
Correct. As of yesterday, Rey Fénix is no longer on the AEW roster page. There is no doubt in my mind he's coming to WWE.
Hmm. Like, now they could set something up leading to him maybe debuting at Mania or before, so that they could have some kind of big tag team turmoil match of some sort on Mania. I don't know. Just to show him off.
I don't think he debuts at Mania. I do think for now, though, they need to keep Penta on his own. So I don't know if you have Ray just coming as a singles and they join up later or what. Because, I mean, they're doing a good job of establishing Penta as a really strong mid-card contender right now, and they're only going to build on it. I think you maybe do the same thing with Rey Fénix on SmackDown, perhaps, because it'd be a lot of fun to have him in the mid-card title mix over there.
Or this is the guy that Chad Gable went to go find.
Oh, that's good. You son of a bitch. Sometimes you're smart.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And then he's actually the Penta's. He's like Chad Gable's little like pit bull of some sort besides Ivy Nile.
Oh, my God. That's so good. That's so good. That's so good. That's what needs to happen. So, anyways, Lyla Rakuria wins that match. So that's two of our three title matches we had on Raw. And then the main event was Rhea. What? Are you yawning or are you flabbergasted by something?
I saw something about Travis Scott, but we'll talk about it after.
Well, outside of his murderous concert, what was it?
Well,
was it about the injury?
What he did to Cody.
Yeah, so apparently he slapped Cody so hard that he injured Cody.
Jesus. He ruptured his eardrum and gave him a black eye from the hit from Travis Scott.
That's craziness.
Allegedly from Dave Meltzer.
Never mind the fact that there was no reason to have Travis Scott in there to begin with. That was just weird and awkward.
Do you want me to quick say, someone had a little bit different theory, but I am twisting it a little bit.
Okay,
So it's going to be, at some point, I don't know if it's going to be Mania. It's just going to be somewhere maybe leading up. Maybe it's Backlash after. I don't know, because they like to do the Backlash after Mania. What if it's Rock and Cena and Travis Scott team up against Cody Rhodes? I don't think it's going to, because, okay, so you're trying to go off of people that would go against each other. So Cody Rhodes and Cena right now, that's those are the ops, the two opposites right now. I don't know if this will ever happen, but Rock, Stone Cold, I don't know, that could be intertwined with someone else. Travis Scott.
Stop it. Stop right there.
Bad Bunny.
Stop it. I hate this. Absolutely.
It'd be a 3-on-3.
Stop.
It'd be a 6-man tag.
Stop.
This could work.
No.
Travis Scott is too much into this.
No.
Too much into it.
No.
Yes.
No.
He's involved in a lot of stuff. I need a beer.
Y'all are too much.
Stop.
This could happen.
Stop. This is awful. That's no. That's all I got to say is no.
Just because you don't want it, Travis.
Wait, did you come up with this or did you see this somewhere?
I saw a little bit different where, like, trying to get Travis Scott in there, but it was like, how would it all make sense? And it just makes sense.
No, okay. That does not make sense.
Yeah. I mean, you don't.
Logan agrees. Logan says 0% chance.
Watch.
I'm gonna laugh.
It
so
comes
hard
true.
Like that happens. Yeah. I'm saying it may not be Stone Cold Steve Austin, but it'd be someone that's like opposition of. What if it's Triple H? What if he's like, "Hey, I gotta help Cody out. I gotta help him out."
Every show needs a conspiracy theorist.
Good to have you, Schwartz. Good to have you.
I'm going to hold that there, and I'm going to make sure I'm going to come back to this day.
You know, I'm well, you won't, but I'm just happy that CJ agrees with me because CJ never agrees with me about anything. So thank you, CJ. Love you. Anyways, getting back to the main event, were you done or do you have any other ridiculous things to say?
Well, that was it. That was it. I didn't really want to say it then, but sure.
What are you doing?
Let's get to the main event.
Logan says take or maybe. That's wrong. Anyway, God, you guys are killing me.
I mean, Taker did come in and help Cody.
Stop it.
It's definitely not going to be CM Punk. We know that.
Anyways, back to the main event of Raw. We had Rhea Ripley against Io Sky for the Women's World Championship, and at some point in the match here, by the way, Bianca's at ringside watching this match. Why wouldn't she? Because the winner of this match is going to be facing her at WrestleMania, in theory. Bianca is mildly cheering for Io Sky during this match. She's not getting involved. She's not getting in Rhea's way or anything like that. Bianca is just cheering for her friend Io. And in an oddly, like, not babyface move, Rhea gets annoyed by this, gets out of the ring, confronts Bianca. What the hell are you doing? She shoves Bianca. Bianca shoves back. Rhea shoves her again. Bianca falls. And not too long after, Io takes advantage of this, pins Rhea. Io is now the Women's World Champion.
Shouldn't have Io been disqualified because of the outside interference?
So, a theory. So, I guess, technically, sure. But I think this is something where they used referee discretion because here's the whole thing. I think Rhea made the first shove.
Yep.
And the referee's like, okay, well, I'll let Bianca get her shove. And then that happened. The ref was quick to be like, get in the ring. Like, this is done. Like, go focus on the match now. And Io took advantage and won. I would absolutely be on board with the disqualification thing if Rhea wasn't the first one to shove.
I think that's going to get brought up within the next couple weeks.
I don't think it will.
We'll come back to it.
I don't know.
That's what we're looking at. And you're not going to leave Rhea off Mania. So I think there's a good likelihood that this becomes a triple threat match, Rhea, Io, and Bianca at Mania.
Yeah, this is almost like the AJ Styles win or loss when he had the title. Did he win or did he lose it?
Which title are we talking about?
I don't remember what you're talking about.
Wasn't it to Jinder? Or he did it right before... Didn't he do it right before Mania when he won one of his titles?
I remember AJ winning it from Jinder on a SmackDown, but I couldn't...
Yeah,
I
can't, it was like... I thought that was before Mania.
I can't remember when that would have been. I have no idea.
I think it was a couple weeks before Mania because I think it was like Daniel Bryan was supposed to wrestle for it. And then,
I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, so we got a good idea of how things could potentially shape up for Mania. So there's still a lot of unanswered questions here, but we got through Elimination Chamber and there's definitely a direction that things are going in. A lot of question marks, but we're getting an idea of what the ride to Mania is going to look like. With that being said, we talked about John Cena turning heel. I don't know if Phil is still here. Phil, let me know if you are still here. Because I want you to answer the question that you asked us earlier. Let's talk about some of the other biggest heel turns in all of wrestling. Past and present. And there are a lot of major heel turns. What are some big heel turns, other than the obvious one that was discussed earlier? What are some of the other biggest heel turns in the history of wrestling that stick out in your minds?
Seth and the Shield.
Seth and the Shield is a big one.
I think that is one of the biggest ones that I can think of.
Now,
or
let me ask you this. Why do you think that's one of the biggest ones?
They're one of the better factions around at the time, and then all of a sudden it was just like, hey, you know what? We want you. And he just turns on his best friends of how many years.
And it was not, nobody could see that turn happening.
Agreed. I'll give you my take on why I think that's one of the biggest ones. Mm-hmm. Seth turning on the Shield is what created the Roman Reigns that we have now. That's what created the bloodline. That's what created this almost 4-year title run. And I think it was Punk or somebody else who mentioned it. Like, you did that. You think I'm a bad guy, but look at what you did.
Right.
What do you got, Shorts? What's a big heel turn that sticks out in your mind?
I don't know if it's a heel turn. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I don't remember what they were for, but what about, maybe it might be an anti-heel turn. What about the Evolution thumbs down?
That's pretty good.
Triple H to Batista, was it?
It was Triple H.
Yeah, Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You guys know who he won that title from?
We don't want to have to talk about that one.
It's similar to what The Rock does.
What are you talking about?
Never mind.
Do you know the person he's talking about, Trap?
No.
Who did Randy Orton win his first world title from? SummerSlam 2004.
His best friend won the undisputed title that day.
Oh, Benoit.
There it is.
Jesus.
Oh. Old man Phil in the chat says Larry Zbysko turning on Bruno. I mean, I know who they are. I'm not familiar with that in particular. Let's see. I will add the Festival of Friendship, Jericho turning on Kevin Owens, and what was one of the best segments in Raw history, without a doubt.
Honestly.
Wait, why is my name on this list?
I think it's because everybody felt sad that happened.
Of course they did. That's why it was as great as it was. The Festival of Friendship will go down in history, and unfortunately, that was one of the best stories in that era, and the match that happened at Mania did not live up to the story that was told.
Nope.
A lot of people saying the Hogan turn.
Yeah, so before that, I guess another really big one. I don't know that it's necessarily on the same magnitude because we weren't around for this. But
So long, everybody.
Thou who shall not be named. Convincing Andre to return to wrestling as a heel so that Hogan had the ultimate bad guy to push him into the next stratosphere as the biggest babyface of all time up to that point. That was major. That was huge.
You got that from the documentary, didn't you?
Bill?
I mean, I mean, it was in a documentary, sure, but that's just the case. I'll give another one out there. I'll give you another one. Or do you guys have any others?
Logan. New Day.
Yeah, I mean,
I like that Logan.
I think, yeah, I agree. Very recently, absolutely. I agree that the turn was great. The follow-up to that, I'm struggling to see what it's doing for them right now.
I think they're They're not too bad. I think that they just need a little bit more time.
They've been around, but they haven't really done anything. Though. They haven't carried the heat that they got that night when they turned on Biggie.
Right. Phil also says that Hogan is bigger because he systematically changed the entire industry. He thinks Cena turning will not change the industry. It'll just make the next several months interesting.
Okay, so in your guys' opinions, so let's talk about Hogan being the third man in 96 and going to WCW. What do you guys feel is bigger as a heel turn? Do you feel that was bigger, or do you think Cena was bigger?
Do we think that Cena turns on the fans?
What do you mean? He just did.
I know, not like... Oh, how can I put this?
I think theoretically he turned on the fans. He hasn't done anything yet.
Okay.
Well, I mean, just kicking the champion in the balls is turning on the fans. I don't understand. Like, being a heel is being against the fans.
You got me there.
But when we finally see, like, you know how Hogan, where he was Hollywood Hogan and all that, he just straight up was just like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. So, I want to see John Cena. I want him to, like, he probably won't assault anybody, but like shove a guy in the face or something like that, or just like, I don't know, just rip some shit up. And if he will truly do that, I could see that being a true, like screw the fans moment.
So what are you saying is bigger?
I think we need more time with John Cena, but they both have similar aspects, because I don't really know if you can count John Cena's first initial run in the WWE with the whole Thuganomics, because that was like one of those bad boy things. He wasn't really always a heel. It was more of like whatever. I don't know. Maybe he was a heel, but he's been a face for what, 15 plus years, like the biggest baby face ever. And you would never expect him to turn kind of like Hogan.
Correct. And I think that's
basically similar.
I think that's why you can compare these two as well as you can. I don't think without this Cena heel turn that we just got, I don't think there's a question about what's the biggest heel turn in history. Like, it's Hogan 1,000%. But now there, you can have a conversation around, oh, well, I mean, Cena's heel turn's pretty massive too. I mean, you don't have that conversation before Saturday.
So is he getting, do you guys think he's going to get rid of the colorful, like, colorful shirts and everything?
Yeah.
Just go like a...
I hope we see a completely different Cena.
Hollywood
we
Cena.
We see gray. Like a dark gray.
I hope we see the bald spot get bigger. Because now that he's a heel, how great is it that he has a bald spot, right?
I don't know if I like it.
I love it. I think he does his hair in a way that it highlights the bald spot. No more comb overs.
I think Pat told him, like, why doesn't he get a haircut because of that bald spot or something?
Yeah, there was something along those lines. George,
what?
Hogan 96 or Cena 2025? What's bigger to you, and why?
Like Short said, just give Cena more time.
Okay, yeah. but like with where we're at right now,
I would say Cena.
Why?
Well, I obviously wasn't watching wrestling back in 96, but yeah, watching Cena, you know, the last 20 plus years.
So you have a connection to it.
Yeah.
And that's fair. They're both so similar in the sense that they were both big baby faces for a long time.
They did.
Like, and you would never expect any of them to change. Here's where I think you make the argument for Cena, is that Cena was a huge babyface longer than Hogan was, especially at a mainstream level. Hogan was a big mainstream star, but it's been like 21 years that Cena's been a babyface. Also, I guess my answer is I agree that Hogan's is probably bigger, and Phil in the comments is making the point of, well, Hogan's heel turn like systematically changed the course of wrestling forever. Like wrestling might not be what it is today if it wasn't for that. I agree wholeheartedly. I do think that a lot of people might feel more impacted or more, they have more investment into Cena's heel turn for the reasons that I mentioned.
Yeah.
And he also makes another good point. And I mean, we talked about this. I agree 1,000% with Phil again. Let's not forget, he says, let's not forget Rock having several campy promos in January that basically washed whatever happened last year away. It wasn't until 2 weeks ago we got back on track. 1,000%. Yeah, of course. And I questioned that as well. And there wasn't really anything to explain. Oh, well, he was just trying to throw us off his scent of pulling this bullshit. He was being a corporate stooge and, you know, thanks for the $1 billion from Moana 2 and suck my dick and, blah, blah, you know. So, I don't know.
I think also to, yeah.
Phil, shut up. Hogan. I don't want Travis Scott in the wrestling ring. He's a piece of shit. Nobody wants to see it.
Yeah,
it was just so awkward and pointless to have him out there at Chamber. What is he doing there? Like,
he was living his best life.
Okay, sure. Sure, just fucking having 18,000 sips of probably Zoa energy drink and carrying around a fake title. Yeah, it was great.
He
made
was
a lot of sense.
Smoking out there
yeah,
too.
He was, you know.
I'm pretty sure he was like surrounding himself in sage because he heard fuck, which was actually funny.
Wasn't sage.
Pretty sure he was weed.
But even if it was, like, it looked like he was doing the like hippie holistic, like, oh, sage, you know.
Yeah. Also, I saw there was, I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was a point where Travis Scott was actually like in Cody's face and John Cena was trying to put him in the STF. And Travis Scott was like trying to bring Cody's neck up and John Cena had to like shove his head down because Travis Scott was pulling him up.
Mm-hmm. Like, I noticed that too. I don't know. Didn't make sense. So,
but
I think, sorry.
I just want to say, if Hogan wouldn't have turned, I don't know how much WCW would have lasted because it would have just been stale. They would have just drug out that outsider's gimmick the whole time.
Potentially, yeah.
And who knows how like what NWO could have been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that would have, if WCW would have been prolonged, you know, would have had the longevity as it did without Hogan turning.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see. Phil says, we'll look back at this year's from now where Cena shocked everyone for several months and random rapper standing there. What's the impact? Yeah, exactly. It meant nothing in the grand scheme of things. That to me just comes across as Rock doing what the Rock wants to do.
So when Hogan turned, didn't everyone want to go to WCW?
I think people were wanting to go to WCW before that, but I think it was around that, like when Hogan.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, because I know the whole thing was, I remember watching that it was the creative control, and that was what, and that's what everybody wanted, was creative control. And they were trying to get that, and I don't think a lot of people could get it because Hogan and Nash and those guys had it.
Back to Travis Scott. Phil says, ask any middle schooler if they heard about Travis Scott in the wrestling ring. There's your answer. Yes, I get that. I understand the reasoning behind it, but you have to make it make sense, and it didn't. And you can have both. I'm fine with him being there, but make it make sense. You know, you got to connect all the dots, not just do it selectively. They all need to be connected. Phil also says, without Hogan's turn, we may never see the Attitude Era. Yeah, we probably wouldn't have. Yeah, I mean, without Hogan and the NWO, 1,000%. The Attitude Era was a direct response from Thou Who Shall Not Be Named to actually give a fuck and try to improve the product because he could see the tides changing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we have there was Eric Bischoff, and he was pretty good at his job. So he could have.
Well, it depends on who you ask.
I mean, he brought us Goldberg, so.
For a year.
And where? In WWE?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying he created Goldberg.
Oh, yeah.
All in all, I think we agree. As a whole, Hogan, bigger turn. Absolutely. 1,000% agreed.
I think in a vacuum, yes.
I think, but I do think this is the closest we've probably ever come to the discussion of, does this beat it?
Yeah.
1,000%. Yeah. Other notable heel turns. Mark Henry in the salmon jacket. I'm going to retire. Cena comes out.
Just kidding.
And fucks Cena. Absolutely fucks him. And I think that was where we started the Hall of Pain run.
It was.
Other ones that I have that kind of came to mind here. Shawn Michaels. Oh, wait. Did I already talk about the Rockers? Yeah.
No.
No.
Oh,
no.
Well, Shawn Michaels turning on Marty Jannetty, putting him through the barbershop window. So there goes the Rockers. Stone Cold turning at WrestleMania X7 against The Rock and joining forces with Vince McMahon, Mr. McMahon. Not Vince McMahon, Mr. McMahon. There's a difference. One's a character, one's a piece of shit. Well, they're both pieces of shit.
He said he's the character.
Huh?
He says he's the character, though.
Right. That was pretty wild, and the follow-up was done poorly, and it could have been pretty cool, but, you know, it's nobody wants to hate Austin.
I don't think anyone ever did hate Austin.
Yeah, and I appreciate.
They tried, but.
I appreciate where they're going with it, and I appreciate that. Why what?
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 Oh, what? I don't have that on the soundboard.
Damn!
That's probably the closest thing I got to that. Sorry.
What?
Yeah!
Where the hell did you get that? Is that on Discord?
You fucking mark.
Another one. I don't know how much of NXT you guys were watching in 2017, but Tommaso Ciampa turning on Johnny Gargano at TakeOver Chicago after they lost the tag titles was incredible. And the matches they had that followed that, incredible. That was really good stuff. I know, George, you mentioned off air. Kevin Owens after his debut in NXT. And yeah, I can kind of go along with that because he, you know, more or less debuted as the anticipated babyface that just came over from Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out to congratulate Sammy on his win or whatever the case was. And then they were rocking up the ramp together. Then all of a sudden, Kevin Owens turns around, slams Sammy against the entrance ramp, and power bombs him on the apron. And that was the first Kevin Sammy feud we had. Mm-hmm. Hell of a history they've had, even before WWE, back all the way back to Ring of Honor, El Generico and them like in a ladder match, and
Kevin Steen.
They've turned on each other right. Like five fucking times.
Mm-hmm.
They're best mm-hmm. friends.
Not anymore, I guess. Any other big heel turns that we can think of?
What about Nikki Bella turning on Brie Bella? It was huge.
God, don't even talk about them.
Stupid idiot.
Oh, Phil actually just said that right after I said it.
That's hilarious. It's very funny.
No, I don't think there's any notable.
Anybody out in the comments land? Phil, CJ, Logan, the people that have been active in the chat so far, which, by the way, we've had like the most consistent number of viewers through an episode we've ever had. We also have gained quite a few subscribers in the last week. and quite a few more views. So it seems like the strategy that we're trying to slowly work into to, you know, release videos, standalone videos that come out of this seems to be doing something for us. And we've had a lot of people check out the Perry Von Vicious interview from last week. So just want to say thank you very much to everybody for that. A Sergeant Slaughter turning on America. Yes, absolutely. And aligning himself with Iran or whatever it was. He comes out instead of you know, his military cap, he's wearing a fucking turban or whatever it was.
Christ.
A beret or something? I don't even know what
it was. Yeah, I don't know either. Not a hat expert. I wear a hat, but that's about all I know. As do you.
But about the Montreal screw job.
Yeah. Parts. I think it's notable to mention. I don't know if you call it a heel turn, but Vince McMahon very clearly became, I mean, he became Mr. McMahon because of that.
That's true.
That is the origin of Mr. McMahon.
Facts.
Oh.
That is, I think it's worth a mention. Sure. I'll go with that. Okay.
Word for word. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it.
That's all that I've got as well.
Evolution on Eugene.
Evolution is a mystery.
Yeah.
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 A little late.
I had to find the button. I need to redo the soundboard. Sometimes I forget it's here, but what's this? Oh, hell yeah. Forgot I had this in here. It was like from an episode song? We did quite a while. It might be the whole song. You know what? We're going to use this as the outro song today. Just for today, because it's already here. Well, any other final thoughts, boys?
I'm ready. Very excited for Mania.
I'm ready.
Are you both going to be here for Mania? Both nights?
Good possibility.
We're doing bets. We're doing slap bets. We're doing chop bets.
I'm absolutely putting money in.
You got to do your beer shoe again because someone didn't record it.
All right. Well, we'll figure that out. True. We'll figure that out.
I might do a boot shoe.
All right, boys. Well, with that, I want to thank everybody for boot tag. All the views and everything that we've been getting and the subscribers and everything that we've been gaining in the last week. We really appreciate that. Of course, you can always find us on Apple and Spotify and hopefully wherever else you can get your favorite podcast. Just search Unprofessional Wrestling. Leave us a review. Leave us 5 stars and all that jazz. And don't forget, you can also check us out on Facebook, Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, and on X. You can search the same thing there. Make sure that you subscribe right here on YouTube. You can catch us live every Tuesday. Once the summer gets busy, I can't promise we'll be live every week, but we're going to try to keep the content coming, and we're trying to come up with more and more content as the weeks go on. Really good stuff. Great show, boys. Can't wait for next week. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the road to WrestleMania. We'll give ye a salute, and we will see you next week right here on the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.